Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Here's our assignment. There is nothing like returning to a place that remains unchanged to find the ways in which you yourself have altered. This wisdom points out for us one of ego's most successful bamboozles. Because the conversation in the head doesn't change, it seems as if we're not changing. Perhaps you've had an experience with someone you've known over a number of years, noting how different you are, how much you're changed. This can be surprising because even if we're consciously focused on expanding awareness, waking up and ending suffering, conditioned voices in the head are droning on about the same old complaints about us. We're 98% different, with a particular emotional reaction or fear of something. But as soon as we hit the 2%, the voices jump on us as if there's never been a change. Today, get up to speed with where you are currently by making some recordings that refute ego's monotonous drone about what's wrong with you. Record and listen. All right, shall we hear from our first caller?
Yes, please.
First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Jill in Philadelphia.
Oh, thank you for that. Hey, Jill.
Hi. Yes, I'm here, and it's freezing cold, but staying warm. So I feel very grateful, actually, for that.
Yes, just to stop right there. Right, in all of the complaining that the voices in the head can do about every single little thing, when we're in that, it's chilly, and then we think of all of the people who don't have a house to be in and don't have heat to turn on and don't have, and it can kind of give us a perspective that's helpful, isn't it? Taking right from complaining to gratitude in a big hurry.
Yeah. Actually, something, I'm glad that you said that because something dropped in yesterday for me. I had this idea to drive around today and look for people who were walking and offer them rides. So I'm going to write that down because I just think that I was going to ask a friend of mine to do it with me who I think she would get a kick out of it. I just think that sounds really fun to me.
Your own Lyft driver without a charge.
That's right. I think that sounds really fun. I have a Prius, so could be doable. But anyway, I just did the assignment about 10 minutes ago, and I had a really profound experience just recording the assignment, and then just so much dropped in around the experiences that I've had with people. Well, actually, the biggest story that dropped in, or the little incident, was where I've been in this job for 10 years, and I've changed a lot over the past 18 years, and so people don't know me from 18 years ago when I was really struggling. And sometimes conditioning just pulls me back there where everything, where I feel like a unwashed, creepy, like person who doesn't have any capabilities, or it's just so frightening how quickly when I'm not paying attention I can go back there. And I just remember this one conversation with a colleague of mine, and I was coming from the ego perspective, and just the look on his face just snapped me right out of it. I realized, like, oh right, I'm not that person anymore, like I'm so far away from that. So
And he's wondering who what happened to Jill?
Exactly.
Where did she go?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
So that
what
was
a helpful moment.
What a helpful moment, and I got a chance to record that and just really, again, feel really grateful for the changes and just my, this came up in a Project Joy recently about getting a divorce from conditioned mind, and I got a chance to just recommit myself to that today and just really
and do your love affair with life.
Exactly, exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm. I and thou. Just that. That's it. Exactly. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Feeling warm and fuzzy.
Good. Well, have fun.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jill.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Jill. The assignment is so profound, right, Sherry, because no matter how many layers of karma we work through, if the conversation doesn't change, that's our experience of ourselves.
Yes, and when you say it that way, what's obvious is egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate does not change.
Yeah.
Right? So
yeah.
So that's the clarity we need to get to. Right? It's
yeah.
never going to change.
Yeah. Yeah, never going to change. And the dots to that last thing that you and Jill were talking about is that, you know, it always wants to focus on it. So the
yes.
divorce from ego is not the choice. It's the divorce from ego and the love affair with life.
Yes.
It just is yeah. that throwing that little attention in there for itself is something we don't notice.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. So our commitment really is to
love affair with life.
Noise. There's a lot of noise on the line. Is that how is that possible? Do you know? Are people unmuted or?
No.
I'll say so. Yes. So constantly, moment by moment, committing to that love affair with life, where there, the egocentric karmic conditioning self hate simply doesn't exist.
That's right. We don't have
yeah.
to say a divorce with ego because a love affair with life implies it. It's the context that transcends that. That
yes.
we're choosing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's perfect.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Vanessa. I'm in South
Hello.
Carolina right now, but usually from North Carolina.
I was going to say, uh-huh. Well, hello.
Hello. Let's see. Well, I enjoyed yesterday's assignment because that is a big bamboozle that ego does for me. You know, just like, are you getting anywhere? Are we getting, why are you still feeling this way? You know, and so to realize that, or just to get on the recorder, wow, you know, and just having come through like the holidays and family, just like, the situations where I may have reacted in other ways in the past that just weren't there. Like, it's almost like, excuse me, those, it's like they weren't, it's like the situations weren't there. It's sort of like, I've lost it now, but I think it's something that Ashley
well.
Just said, or just that ego doesn't exist. You know, those situations.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Because you're not looking through the lens of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. Those situations don't exist.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Before, they very much existed because they were being projected by egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. It's in their interpreting everything, and they're thinking that, and that person is doing that, and you need to this, and it's just orchestrating this whole drama. You're not doing that, and so none of that is happening.
Right, right, right. And
it's fabulous,
the other
isn't
thing, it is. And the other thing that I noticed too, actually, was how much of that projection now I realize is projection. Like, it's almost like all those, let's see. I guess all those projections now I own. But it's not like I own them. It's like I see that they're egocentric karmic conditioning. Like I used to say, oh, that's, say, my sister. Oh, look what she's doing, da-da-da-da-da-da. But now I realize, no, those are internal voices. That's,
uh-huh.
that's ego that I, you know, used to identify as her, but really identify as myself. But now I see that it's neither of us. That is just the thing, you know?
Yeah.
And I can step away.
Isn't it good that we all do this practice? Because otherwise that would sound like lunatics in a conversation, right? What you're saying is exactly so. And it's stepping back to that point where you realize it's not just that you're no longer projecting through that lens of ego and creating that situation, because that's one of the stages, right? First it's her. It's really her. It's always been her, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then it's, oh, God, it's me, because mm-hmm. now I'm going to own that projection. Then you step back again and realize, that's not me. That's egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. Then you step back again from that and realize, oh, it's not her either. It's egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. So you two gals can just kind of step to the side and
mm-hmm.
relate in the present where there's nothing wrong.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So one other point I want to make, Vanessa, about what you started out with, it's for all of us, okay, not just for you. But the reason, of course, that those voices come in and say things like, "What is the matter? Are you getting anywhere? How come you're still?" They only come in at the time when, in fact, the changes are obvious. When you have clearly moved to a new perspective, that triggers that ego reaction of, are you ever going to be any different? Are we getting anywhere? How is this? What are you doing to deflect you, to get the attention onto that story rather than being able to stay present and take in the difference that is there?
Mm-hmm. Sort of like a last-ditch effort.
Yep.
Sort of.
Yep. Yes. Yes, and we fall for it for a while. We were talking about this here on retreat, that it's what happened right before. So there's an insight, there's awareness that's in the present. We miss that, but ego doesn't miss it. Ego hops on it to bring in the opposite. So if there's an awareness that, gosh, life is different with practice, oh, wow, this family, this is a great family. I love these people, right? Whereas before, it's, oh, God, do I have to go there one more time? And she's
mm-hmm.
going to be that way, he's going to do that. And okay, so there you are in that place, but not consciously registering an insight like that. So here comes ego to hop in with, oh, what is the matter with you? You're not, and it doesn't have any, what it's saying doesn't have anything to do with what's actually going on. But we are meant to just give our attention immediately and automatically to that story, and then we miss the insight.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And so the thing to do...
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say is to use that like a red flag or something.
That's it.
Like recognize, like, okay, let's get back to the breath and see what drops in.
That's right.
Like ignore
that's right.
that and just... Yeah.
Yes, to understand
so
to it as...
out. That would be it, my
that's right.
thing.
That's right. To,
yeah.
to get it as a principle. Those voices
uh-huh.
say exactly the opposite of what is true. So, therefore, and with that perspective, you'll realize that there's, like, what was there right before that has a residue, and you can
uh-huh.
sense that residue, and increasingly you will be aware of what it was that was there that triggered that negative reaction from the voice.
Okay. Great.
Very fun.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, it's exciting. And so we've been kidding about that a lot on this retreat, that, okay, now you can't wait for it to happen again. Right?
Right.
So now... Right, when the voices attack you, increasingly, not every time, but increasingly, that will be the red flag. You're looking for the voices to attack you because you know that that's an indication that you were present and open and clear right before that happened.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you for that.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Something you said really pointed to a very, very subtle awareness, which is that what if we're looking through the lens of life, then we are present to what is. Yes. When we're identified with ego, we're only we are seeing what is not, which is a negation of what is.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Right? And that's exactly
Wait. We just got to all breathe and take that in, okay? That just took what I was just laying out with Vanessa to the next level, right? That when we are identified with ego, we are seeing and experiencing the not world of ego, the no world of ego.
And it's always, as you said, based on what is. It's a negation of what is.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So somebody that I love becomes somebody annoying.
Yeah.
Somebody to be avoided. Somebody who triggers stories of what's wrong and the past mm-hmm. and the future and that sort of thing. Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Or even that I haven't changed, you haven't changed. Well, I'm just having an experience of how different I am.
Yes, and that triggers the no of ego. Mm-hmm. No, you're not different. You haven't changed.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, again, seeing that as a principle mm-hmm. makes what ego does a really exciting opportunity for us.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. All right. Shall we hear from our next caller?
Please.
That was such an one of those earth-shaking,
breathtaking, right?
exactly. Speechless experiences. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi there. This is Sharon from Barbados.
Well, hello, Sharon.
Hi, Sharon.
Hello. Hi.
Are you calling us from Barbados?
I am.
Or are you somewhere else? Oh,
no, I'm
lovely.
In Barbados.
It's not cold where you are, I'm betting.
No, it's not. Although we're having some coolness in the evenings, but, not cool by any other standards but ours.
Okay. What's going
anyway,
on?
Anyway, well, I wanted to say that I have so appreciated this Project Joy and that very often I listen in the wee hours because when I wake up in the night and I can't go back to sleep, I put in my earbuds and I listen to Project Joy. And very often, Sherry, you're in my dreams.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
It's so funny. You just fit right in as one of the cast of characters. But it's nice.
I like to get around. I've never been to Barbados, so thanks for having me.
Oh, you've been here, you've been in Italy, you've been in India, you've been all over. But the reason I'm calling, well, is partly because just to experience my practice, to call in, and the reading yesterday really was good for me because I had a situation where somebody I love became somebody very annoying, as you said.
Uh-huh.
And I could just watch what I did was... I went into the bedroom and I did some recording and I paid attention to what conditioning was saying and it was all the same stuff that it always said about this person. And when I did the recording and it was really just mainly to come back to the present, there were a couple of issues that mentor just said, let life deal with those. Life is going to work those out. You can just kind of put them on the back burner and come back to the present. And all the angst was completely gone. Now, whether it was just suppressed, I don't know, but all the angst was gone. Peace was established with the other person. And so it was a very good exercise for me.
Yes. And I would bet it was not suppressed or repressed or any of those depressed places. Because you were not colluding with ego in a way that makes something real out of what's not there. And so when we stop doing that, the whole thing just collapses. It goes away because it never was real in the first place.
It's quite amazing how it collapsed, how it was just gone. And I've had this at other times, and I always have put it down to, well, it's probably the sitting in the morning that has calmed me down. I'm not quite so, you know, explosive or, you know. But I also said, I'm not going to pick up a resentment. I'm just not. Even though the issue is not resolved, picking up a resentment would not be the way to go.
That's right. That's right. And the place that I project we all get to is, you're having too good a time with this other thing. You don't want to leave that. You know that you can collapse those suffering-causing issues simply by turning your attention to the present. There. That's kind of the end of that story. Why would I want to drag something painful and suffering into a present that is perfectly happy and loving? I don't want to do that.
So true. So true. Yeah. It's like refeeling it and refeeling it.
Oh, yes. And all that happens is I suffer.
Mm-hmm.
And we're no longer interested in doing that. You know, there are a lot of people in the world who don't know it's possible to have another experience. And so, and we've been talking about this on the retreat, this, you know, the kind of a pleasure that ego takes in that kind of suffering. You know, you're resentful and you walk around and you're making these cases and you're righteous and, you know, that sort of thing. But once we know we have a choice and how much happier the choice is, not to go with ego, then we're really ready to ditch ego and get on with our love affair with life.
Yeah, and it just goes away immediately, and it's just a miracle. It really is, and it's true. Yeah. Well, thank you very much. And
thank you
for Project Joy. Wishing you all the best for the new year.
Thank you, and to you too, Sharon.
Okay.
Take care.
You too.
Bye bye.
Thanks, Sharon. And Sherry, we have time for one more caller. So caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Bob in San Francisco.
Hello,
hey, Bob.
Hey. Well, I really enjoyed the show today because I'm just going to say that was pretty much my experience with the assignment yesterday. And the thing that... Well, one of the things that was just really fun about it is that when I first recorded about yesterday, the conditioning had let its guard down briefly, and it revealed like the kind of like the underlying message I'm supposed to just internalize all the time, which is no matter what you're doing, even if it's completely new to you, you have to be an expert at it.
And it let it slip that is always underlined, always the case.
Yeah. And the way the assignment was written was great because what I was looking at throughout the day is that, you know, like with a piece of content project I'm working on, it's just new to me, very complex. And, you know, there's like hopefully like a 90-95% understanding of what's going on at this point after a lot of work. And all conditioning wants me to focus on is the 5% I don't know. And if I'm in that conversation, that 5% is all I'm seeing.
Yes. Yeah. And 5% is all it takes to feel really bad. And it's not even feeling bad, is it, Bob? It's the 5% keeps that belief system, that egocentric belief system, in business.
Yeah, because I think it goes back to what you and Ashwini were talking about earlier in the call, which is that not what I don't, you know, what is not actually working or happening, or the opposite of what my actual experience is, that becomes my experience. You know,
yes.
Everything else just kind of fades away, and I'm living in ego's no.
Yeah, so the 5% becomes the 100%.
Yeah, because all I'm focused on, you know, if my attention is there, is on that conversation. That conversation is never going to be, what a great job you're doing, Bob. It's always going to be, look at what you don't know. What's wrong?
Yeah, and it's never going to change, and it's never going to be any different. And that's what enables it. So you complete this, you're 100%, you understand the whole thing. You know, ego is not interested at all in that. Let's move on to the next thing, because there will be a next thing that you need to do, and you don't know how. And so here we are back at, as Jill was saying, you know, 18 years ago or whatever it is, where you're a completely different person. Completely, I don't know how many years it would actually be for you, but where you were just living in ego's world, and that's what it's interested in. Okay, let's move on to the next project where ego can say, you don't know anything, you're never going to get this, it's up to you, you should, you have to, but you don't.
Yeah, and the thing that's been helpful for me over the years is to be reminded over and over again that all ego is interested in is like my attention and my suffering, even though it can often get presented as, why aren't you doing this thing? You know, why aren't you being successful at this content or this thing or this relationship? That those are really just ways to kind of bamboozle me from really seeing that all it wants is my attention, because if I'm paying attention to that 5%, what's actually not understood or what's wrong, then that's going to lead me to having my attention there rather than on being present to whatever is in my life, and which always leads to suffering and results that nobody wants.
Yes, which points to another principle that is so important for us to get, and that is that those voices don't say, you know, all I want is your attention. Focus on me. Focus on me. All I want is your attention. I need you to suffer so that you'll focus on me and listen to this story. It doesn't say that. The implication is it wants you to be successful. You know, it's saying these things because it really is concerned about that problem or that relationship or that, what, you know, and really, this is like coaching. No, it's not. No. If we could translate it in our minds, you know, every time it starts in a, well, you don't, and how are you going to, if we could hear that as, focus on me and suffer, focus on me and suffer, be really beneficial for us.
Yeah, that's helpful. And I feel time's getting a little bit short, so I will say Happy New Year, and thank you, and see you in the new year.
Happy New Year, Bob. Happy New Year. Take good care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Bob. I love that point that Bob was making, that when we listen to the conditioned conversation, I think you said it yesterday in this way, that there is no love in conditioning, right? And
yeah,
so
none.
There's none. So when we're focusing on that, all we ever see is what's wrong, not what everything is. I think the way the Buddha said it was so elegant, right? Ignorance. We ignore everything when we're focused on the unconditioned mind. We're not aware of everything that is when we're only focused on that.
Right, and that everything that is love.
Yes, exactly. Everything that is love. Well, we come to the end of another fabulous show, Sherry. And here's
today is Friday, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah, so another
we
week
will
as well.
See the everybody last, in the new year.
Yes, our last week of 2017.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. What's our assignment?
It's brilliant for the last day of the show. At the end of all our exploring, we will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time. It could sound as if that end of all our exploring will happen sometime way out there in the far distant future, just as where we started must have happened a long time ago. So all our exploring will likely take up all the time and space between where we started and where we end up. Yes? Perhaps. Perhaps not. Perhaps the place where we started, the end of all our exploring, and the knowing are all one place and all one moment. Perhaps this is a description of the experience of this here now. Today, give yourself as many moments as you can to turn attention to awareness and awareness to attention in this year now. Record and listen.
Perfect.
Mm. Endings and beginnings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. All right. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Go happy. Treasure yourself.
And see you in the new year.
Talk to you in the new year. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.